Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Kate, and welcome to a special edition of Walls in Our Minds of Dr. Kate's Revolution Radio. We have been working on a number of issues in the last several weeks in Walls in Our Minds, and because there is a debate tomorrow night and the popcorn will be out and so forth, we thought that we would continue our show this evening. So I am joined by my co-host, Terry Dodd and Red Beckman. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening to you, Dr. Kate.
Good evening, Dr. Kate.
Terry, would you like to start us off with a prayer this evening, and then let's then we'll let our audience know what we're going to be addressing tonight.
Thank you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we as always, acknowledge you as the only true God, the one and only true God. And we're just so thankful that you've sent your Spirit in your Son's name and that you have blessed us with the gift of your Son and his sacrifice. And we just want to be filled with your Spirit. We invite your Spirit in tonight to this discussion, to ourselves. And we invite you to reach out to the ears and hearts of our listeners tonight. We just pray that you go before us and everything that we do and say here at this show and in our lives. We're just so thankful that we can turn to you, especially in these troubled times, in these times of heightened excitement and concern. It is a very interesting time to live in indeed, Father, and we just we acknowledge our need for you and our need for a relationship with your Son, Jesus, our Savior. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Kate, if it's all right with you, I'm going to turn around to our elder statesman. And last week, Red, you started telling us about this meeting that took place in Tehran, about these 120 nations that got together. And you spoke to us a little bit about that, and I think that's a good place for us to start tonight, because we need to understand what that was about and what it means to us as a nation and as a people here in this what's supposed to be a constitutional republic. There was a communique from Great Britain to Netanyahu, and there were certain people that were told not to go to that meeting, yet they went anyway, and There's a significant meaning to all of this, and I'd like for you to give us a description. Start out from scratch on this, if you will, Red, and give us your take on all of this.
Well, there's an awful lot of undercurrent going on out there in the world, and it's undercurrent because we have a media that they're not honest news people. They have an agenda. They're owned and operated by a very specific power out there in the universe here, in this country in particular. And so we, the people, have been really shortchanged on this. And this conference, there was delegates there from like 120 different countries. The U.S. government, they tell us, recognizes 194. So 120 is well over a majority. And of course, the feedback from the other countries has not been negative. But these people, they got together and they met for a week. And they were there to attend a meeting. They called it the Non-Aligned Movement, NAM, N-A-M. And the Secretary General of the UN, he's a Korean. His name, I think, is something like Ban Ki-moon or something of that nature. And he was told by Israel and the U.S. that he should not attend that conference. However, he did. And not only did he attend, but he spoke. And, of course, there were about 50 heads of state that were there. The Prime Minister of India was there. And of course, a number of, prime ministers and such from other countries that were there. And, of course, Russia and China weren't represented. And what it boils down to is that the rest of the world out here, the United States and Israel, are standing alone right now because England has already noticed the Israelis that they will not, join with them on an attack against Iran. And of course, the U.S. has been noticed of that as well by our U.S. military. And, of course, no one knows that. People just don't understand that has happened. Because our U.S. military is, they have taken an awful beating the last 10 or 12 years. They have really, been violated in so many ways. And so our U.S. military is not going to be, you might say, used by politicians in this country for much of the future here, the future that's right here, right now. For at least 20 years, I have, as I traveled the country and spoke at many, many seminars and conventions and such, I talked about the United States being the global bully. And it was, 20 years ago, that wasn't really all that popular to say that. But today, when I say that, I find agreement on all fronts, except for, some of your religious leaders and such that have been totally deceived and totally out of line with what they should be teaching. And so we were, really exposed in that conference in Tehran. It went for a week. We were exposed as the global bully as never before, and all of these countries have voted unanimously to support Iran. Iran, of course, is a signator of the universal, the nation, the global nuclear power thing. They've agreed, whereas Israel has not. Israel has refused to sign that proliferation thing. And, of course, Israel will not expose the fact that they have hundreds, no one knows how many, nuclear weapons. And so it's been, well, I tell people that, you know, in our frontier days, and this is something that most people will recognize what I'm saying. In our frontier days, the joke was, or the story was, that the town bully picked on the town wimp, and then the town wimp got a Colt six shooter, and it evened the score. The bully wasn't able to bully the 100-pound weakling any longer. Because there was the equality that had come into being when the 100-pound weakling was able to buy a Colt six shooter, and that stopped the bullying. And of course, Israel is the only nation over there in that part of the world, Saudi Arabia, they don't have nuclear weapons, and you know, all these other countries, Egypt, they don't have nuclear weapons, Libya didn't have them, and for the most part, none of them want them either. They recognize that that is not, you know, nuclear weapons are not. You know, only bullies are going to, you know, exercise any kind of influence on the world if they've got nuclear weapons. So anyway, as long as if Iran, if they develop a nuclear weapon, with the threat that they have, constant threat they have from Israel, you know, it would quiet a lot of things down in the Middle East there. It would stop this bullying on the part of Israel. And I don't know if that's just exactly what you wanted, Terry, but that's what's going on. And of course, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I've had some contacts that have been very interesting. And so back to you, Terry.
Let's see, did I? Yes, I am unmuted. I didn't know for sure whether I had muted or not. Kate, would you like to add to that?
Well, yes. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we covered Matthew 24, and I just wanted to pull out a piece here and then respond directly. At the beginning of the sorrows, nations shall rise against nation. Then shall they deliver you up, verse 9, Matthew 24, verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So what Red has talked about now, I think, is a stark reality that we have to accept, is that the United States is seen as the world's bully, one of the world's bully, and our quote-unquote strongest ally in the Middle East, Israel, is also seen as that bully, who is Israel's biggest supporter is the United States, including military equipment, technology, so forth and so on. Now, the reasons to hate Israel are a little bit different than the reasons to hate the United States, but nevertheless, it appears that we are the bullies. And in Matthew 24, it is because because a Christian nation like the United States is the target, because not because we're free or not because we have the First Amendment, because we're Christians. We're a Christian nation. This is where our Constitution was built. We are a fully Christian nation, no matter what anybody says. That's our founding. In God we trust. And that hating is made, or basically is, I would say maybe this is covered up by, or that hating of us because we're Christians and because of Christianity and for his name is covered up because, or masked by our bulliness. And when you think about Israel and Israel's history, and we're talking about not the Israelites, not the sons of Jacob. We're talking about the Edomites or the Ishmaelites. We're talking about the different lines that came from Abraham, the three or four different lines. And so that Israel, the state of Israel, is not the same as the Israelites of the Bible. And yet, the state of Israel has claimed itself as God's chosen, and the United States as being a big ally, and drawing in for a moment the evangelical churches, we have all contributed to essentially worldwide hatred against us. Now, we, the American people, have been, you know, we can easily blame it on the politicians and the institutions and organizations like AIPAC, the American Israeli, I don't remember the full acronym, but we, because we have, I don't know, maybe dropped into debauchery or lost our morals or lost our sense, the love of many shall wax cold. Our understanding of our own origin and where God is in the place in our country and in our lives, we've allowed these really broad category Luciferians, these politicians, to basically completely capture and to completely determine the fate of our country. And the Constitution was written for a moral people. What happens when the people lose their morals and directions and fail to put God at the top of the pecking order? So this conference is significant because there's almost worldwide agreement on that fact that the United States is the bully, and the same with Israel. And if there was a message that Great Britain will not support Israel in an attack on Iran, and an attack on Iran is really an attack on Russia and China and everybody else who support Iran, i.e. those other 120 countries. So it's really a worldwide attack that could be initiated by Israel and by proxy by the United States. And this is so serious right now. The entire world hangs in the balance. And the problem I see is we are failing to recognize that we are the bully. We are failing to recognize that we have lost our way. Our hearts have waxed cold. And as a result, we are in deep trouble. The patriots can talk all we want about restoring the constitutional republic. Well, you know what? The republic is gone. And this is very distressing to me because we can try to rebuild the republic, but we will never be able to unless we go right back to the core, right back to putting God at the top of the pecking order. And in doing so, we must see and realize the wholesale washing away of the current politicians at every single level and so forth. So we are extraordinarily distracted, and I say with intention, by politics, by UFOs, by Planet Nibiru, by Planet X, by whether various people are lizards or whether they're aliens. This, to me, is the mark of the beast, because we are not paying attention to what is going on right now, and our lives, the life of the world, is hanging in the balance. On the one hand, I feel that there's nothing we can do except pray and get closer to our Maker and really spread the word out as much as we can. And on the other hand, we were put here for a reason. We have a responsibility to not only let people know these things, but to do something about it. So I am very distressed by this news. And the lies that are going on in the media, the events of Benghazi, the absolute lies that are told by everybody, and I think we've got some serious reckoning to do, individually and as a nation. And so I'm just going to stop there, Terry, because I'm already up on my soapbox, and I've got another one I could put on top of that. So I'll just hold off for a second and would appreciate your input into this.
We'll invite you back on your soapbox again here in just a few minutes.
Okay.
I like it when you get on your soapbox, by the way, and I have a feeling Red does too. And I recognize that you're almost have the reins kind of pulling in your passion tonight, because I think that you could even you know, there's a lot more passion even there that's kind of boiling that hadn't come out yet, and I'm almost looking forward to seeing that, as long as it's not aimed at me. I'm sorry, I didn't mean facetious. We asked a question tonight. We asked this question: has the bully been exposed? And the next follow up to that I want to throw out to you guys is who has it been exposed to? Because in fact, the world has had a pretty good grip on who that bully is for a long time, and there's been a lot of people around the globe who have recognized a lot more about what's going on, from the elitist, the money, that, as Alfred Lawson called them, the alien financiers that have been inciting problems and trouble and central banks and all of this kind of stuff all over the world. And they've recognized very clearly that in our, and I'm reluctant to use this term, but I believe it applies, in our arrogance, we have failed to really know what was going on, and we have believed the lies of this media that is controlled by these alien financiers. So it's not, the bully's not so much being exposed to the world, but to us, being exposed to the people in the United States. It's finally come to the point where we can't close our eyes and ears any longer to what's really going on. This information is now being disseminated through the media that, you know, that we're on right now, through the internet, through lots of different sources that are not under the direct control of, you know, the mainstream or the establishment or these alien financiers. Red, would you comment on that a little bit, about the fact that really it's a matter of an awakening going on here? And, you know, then there's some follow-up questions to that we have to ask. But Red, do you want to comment on that?
I don't know where to start, I guess. We started this last series of programs about 7 or 8 weeks ago, and we were talking about the counterfeits. we identified a good many counterfeits. And I remember very well Dr. Kate telling about the counterfeit education system we've got in this country. And I hadn't really thought about that much. I knew our education system was failing, that it was not teaching truth. It was not adding anything to the value of our people and all of that. And but you know, I tried to tell people that you know, you start watching for these counterfeits. And so when you start looking for the counterfeits, you boy, they just crop up all over. And of course you see those people over there in Israel, and Dr. Kate touched on this a bit. They want you and I to believe that they are you know, they came from the biblical history people that we call the children of Israel. Well, it's kind of strange, because you will never find the Jews of today talking about the, you know, that they are, you know, Israel's of Israel people of the Bible. They just don't do it. And so you start thinking about it, and you think, well, now, if God has a chosen people, if you understand that counterfeit principle, you immediately stop and you say, hey, Lucifer is the god of this world. The Bible tells us Lucifer is the god of this world. In Luke 4:6, Lucifer had tempted the Lord Jesus Christ after he'd been in the wilderness for 40 days and night, and Lucifer offered Christ the kingdoms of the earth if he would bow down and serve Lucifer. And in Luke 4:6, Lucifer says, these were presented to me. He's talking about the kingdoms of the earth. These were presented to me at some point in long ago history. Lucifer had been given dominion of planet Earth. And, of course, as I have brought out a number of times, and I need to bring it out again, the most quoted verse in the Bible, people learn it as a child in Sunday school and such, and it's the most quoted, most, you know, recognized of any verse of Scripture, and that is John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Well, people, you know, back there 25 years ago, I said, wait a minute. People don't recognize what they're reading. It does not say, for God so loved mankind that he sent his only begotten son. It says he, because of the world, for God so loved the world. And people forget that, and they don't really comprehend what that means. And, of course, they don't tie things together and recognize that when God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, he took the dust, the clay of planet Earth, and formed a likeness of himself, and then he breathed the breath of life into Adam, and he became a living soul. And people just don't seem to tie that together, the fact that Adam became part and parcel of planet Earth. You and I are part and parcel. We come from the planet itself. We are part. We're integral to the planet. People just do not comprehend that, and they don't comprehend that when Christ came in the flesh, born of his mother from of the people of Israel, he took on part of the planet. He was born and he grew up as part of planet Earth. And that part of planet Earth, when he rose from the dead out of that tomb, and when he ascended into heaven, he now sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he sits there in a clay body from planet Earth. He is part and parcel of planet Earth. And so in the Christian faith, anybody that has studied it extensively or probably, you know, seriously, recognize that Christ has promised to come back to planet Earth and set up a kingdom. Now, doesn't that kind of set up a confrontation between Lucifer, who says that the kingdom, he can give the kingdoms to anybody he wants, the kingdoms of the earth, he offered them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ did not argue with him about the fact that they were Lucifer's property at that time, the kingdoms of the earth. And so we've got to somehow or other fill in some blanks here in the teaching that people are getting in their churches and such. And, you know, I challenge anybody. When our Heavenly Father told Jacob and set him up as a new clan of people, that he became Jacob became Israel. That was his name. He was changed. His name was changed to Israel, and his progeny then became the children of Israel. And you know, if God has His chosen, why do you suppose Lucifer was trying to get the Lord Jesus Christ to bow down and serve him? Lucifer has his chosen, and Lucifer has those who want to rule the kingdoms of the earth. They want to. They want Lucifer to live up to his promise that he would give them the wealth, the power, and the kingdoms. You see, when you talk about kingdoms, you're talking about the wealth and power out there of governments and such. And so, anyway, I may have gotten a little far afield there, but I don't think so, because I think that what we're seeing today is a war that is becoming very, very warm and very, I'm going to say it's hot. It's a hot war at this point. Lucifer wants a world kingdom, a counterfeit kingdom to the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom that he is going to bring. And of course, I am going to be on the Lord Jesus Christ's side, because I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the winner of this war between Lucifer and the true God. And so I hope that I haven't confused anybody. We need to talk about this more in the future. about some of this, and it tells us in the Bible, and I should have had the references at my fingertips, but I don't. It tells us that when this scenario of these final days of this age, when this is all played out, it tells us that heaven and earth are going to be shaken. It's not going to be just earth. It's not going to be just you and I down here on planet earth. It's going to be heaven and earth. And when we read Revelation, the 12th chapter, we find that Lucifer is cast out of heaven at that point in time. And so, you know, I have asked the question many times, where was Lucifer when the earth was without form and void and darkness was on the deep? Where was he at? The darkness and the confusion of the, you know, it took the Creator a day of creation to just separate the solids from the liquids from the gases, because everything was in such a state of confusion, because Lucifer is the god of confusion, and that's what the Bible tells us. And so we need to get a little better foundation under our Christian faith than what we've got, because so much of it is just believing what some preacher has said, and it's not based on good biblical truth. So I'll turn it back to you, Terry.
Thank you, Red. I was kind of trying to get to a point. I want to acknowledge a Colorado caller has her hand up, and we're going to get to you in just a moment, so please hang in there with us. We do see your hand up. My point was is that we have been lied to. I was really playing off of the fact that you were mentioning the media not letting us know what was going on, but the people out there in the world have been pretty well aware that there's been a lot of deception going on, and they've seen more of the truth out there about what's going on than we have here in this country, because our media has completely failed to do any investigative reporting that's serious and honest. Kate, what do you think about that? The fact that really the people that are now being exposed to who the bully really is right here in our own country.
Well, it's exactly true, and like Red has said many times, we can also point at the media, but like I've said many times, anytime you point your finger at somebody, three of them point back at you. And so I'd like to read from Matthew 13, because we have within us, you know, your neighbor perhaps, right here, we have the enemy right here. Beginning with verse 24, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants came of the householder and came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye the first tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. So what we have is the tares masquerading as Israel, masquerading as Jacob's seed, masquerading as the state of Israel, masquerading as God's chosen, and in fact, they're not. They're the tares. They were Satan's chosen. And they are among us now. They've grown in the wheat fields of America. And it's those tares right now that are the bullies, and that has made the whole field seem like a bully. And it is those tares that we must be discerning of, the false prophets, the apex, the warmongers. And just so we know that those tares are also in the Arab world as well. And it is important for us to see clearly what is going on. And I know there's a lot of history about that, but this is where we're at. And while we slept, this happened. While the churches slept, this happened. While the churches were preaching some dogma or some denomination or some alternative view, the tares were sown. And now the church itself is completely compromised. Just like last Sunday was supposed to be the churches speaking free from the pulpit, every one of those churches stood up and said, Israel are the God's chosen people, and we must protect them. There is no discernment there. So it is, like I say, it's all of our faults. And the way to solve this is to not blame. The way to solve this is to really discern, and as we have said many times in this show in the last several weeks, to get the right pecking order in order, because we're not going to rebuild our republic on Mitt Romney. They're the same group of tares. They've grown up in our midst. They control everything right now. So I just wanted to passed that parable on. Red had mentioned it to me a couple of days ago, and so I had to go searching and find it, and I think it's so apropos. And let me just finish by saying, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. So this is where we are at right now. We've got a full field. We've got all this years and centuries of humanity. And what have we got? A wheat field full of tares.
Well, I think we need to come back to this in just a moment, or maybe the discussion will continue in that with our caller, but I'd like to bring him in if it's okay. I forget which whether it was Ed or Brian last week that called in and mentioned that before we can have any true liberty in this country, we've got to do away with entitlements, and I think that's a discussion we need to get back to. Area code 719, you have an open mic. Ed, is that you?
Yes, can you hear me?
We hear you fine. Welcome back to Walls in Our Minds.
Well, Terry, can you hear me?
We hear you fine. Go ahead, Ed.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you. Sorry. Well, I'm listening to everything that's being said, and Terry, I have to admit, I'm a little bit confused, because, first of all, I guess I need to ask Dr. Kate just a real simple question. Is she saying that the nation of Israel, as it stands right now, where it's at and all of that, is not made up of true Israelites?
May I jump in and answer the question?
Please, and yes, my answer is yes, that's correct, and I'd appreciate anyone else's explanation of that.
Well, there is a remnant, Ed. There is a remnant that is there, and they're here too. There's more of them here than there are there. But there is a remnant, but in fact they represent less than 10% of those claiming to be Jews.
Okay, what about the nation of Israel?
It was primarily reestablished by the Ashkenazim, who are not of Judaism. It was primarily fomented and put back into the existing state by Rothschild and his minions, and they still control it today.
Well, okay. If they're not, and if that nation is not the nation that we read about in Revelation that is going to be destroyed, well, and then actually prior to that, the restoration of Israel that is spoken of, and then the destruction in the end times at the Battle of Armageddon. What is it? Where is the true Israel? What is the? How are we to understand the scriptures? I'm asking the question.
Just if you start from Abraham and go through the lineage to Abraham had two, Ishmael and Isaac.
Dr. Kate, I know that. Okay,
yeah,
that's
but,
not what I'm
but
asking.
This is the relevant question, This is relevant to your question. So Isaac had Jacob and Esau, and the Lord said, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. Esau, those are the Edomites. Those are the Jews who say they are Jews and who are not. And as Terry said, they are the 12 kings. Jacob's line are the Israelites. But as Terry said, there's a remnant, and that remnant is all over the world. But the nation of Israel, there is part of the remnant in the nation of Israel, but not all. But Israel, the nation itself, being ruled by the descendants of Esau, the Edomites, claim to be God's chosen, and they are not. And they are using that.
We're talking about two different things, Dr. Kate. I understand what you're saying there, and I'm not disagreeing with what you've just said. But what is the nation? What is the country? The actual geographical, physical boundaries of upper and lower Israel and Jerusalem, and what is that? If it is not Israel, what is it?
It's still that same area. It is still that same area that you're talking about. But within that geographic area that will be destroyed, within that area, there are those of the remnant, the true Israelites, and those that are not the remnant.
Ed, the challenge here is not understanding the challenge is not understanding what Scripture is talking about. The challenge is identifying the counterfeit, because the counterfeit exists.
Well, Terry, I'm not disagreeing with that at all, and I understand. I'm not trying to be contrary to anything. I'm trying to understand something though that seems to me basic to this whole discussion, which is no matter what group of people you're talking about, no matter what area geographically we're speaking of, no matter where you are located, what church you go to or don't go to, there's the wheat and the tares. Yes. You could do away with all national boundaries, and just call it planet Earth, and we still are in that same situation. We have the good seed and the bad. Now,
yes.
And those that
have followed Christ have been sown in.
Onto the vine. They've been grafted onto the vine. I mean, it's not to say if we did a DNA test of the true Israelites, a DNA test of most of us anyway, you would find a distinct difference between what I'm going to call the Hebrew people that God chose and those of us who've been grafted onto the vine. Now, I understand that there is certain markers, DNA-wise, and I don't want to get off into the weeds of this, but that quite interestingly, seem to change once we have accepted Christ as our Savior, which I find fascinating. But in any case, the Hebrew people. And I understand the Ashkenazi, the Germanic area that they came from, and the whole aspect. But what I'm trying to get at is we talk about the nation of Israel as if the nation is a bad seed, for lack of a better terminology, and even though, I mean, no matter where you are, probably in the world today, you're going to find some of the remnant. There may be a higher concentration here, there, or somewhere else, but we're going to find a remnant of the Hebrew people that God chose. Now, if I understand correctly, Scripture talks about the nation of Israel and its location, and we can look at that and say, well, that's the area. I mean, we know where Jerusalem was in the Old Kingdom, before it was destroyed for the last time by the Romans, but do we, in light of that, ignore that fact and say, well, the nation of Israel is illegitimate? And that really,
A better term is counterfeit. A better counterfeit, because see, they mimic God's prophecy, and they create a counterfeit. And Red, you may want to on this, but they, you know, it's almost like the abomination, in that they're coming in and taking God's seat, okay. It's that kind of counterfeit. It's a proclamation that they are something that they're not, and they are.
I understand what you're saying, Terry. Okay, and I do understand what you're saying, and I wouldn't disagree that in a very large part there are those in Israel who are saying that they are something that they are not, and I wouldn't disagree with that. But what I'm trying to understand is if that country that we call Israel now, the geographical location of Israel, if that is a counterfeit Israel, Where then is the nation of Israel that is spoken of in the end times as being destroyed?
Red, do you want to respond to that, or do you want me to respond to it?
Have to get my mute off here. I want to thank the caller for calling in, because this is discussion that we really need. I grew up in evangelical circles because my father was a pastor, a minister. And so I grew up in church. And it wasn't until I was getting pretty close to 40 years of age. I don't remember exactly. Anyway, about half of my life, I was being taught in churches that the Jews were God's chosen. But I had some real serious problems start coming up as I was a Sunday school teacher and one thing another, and there were some things that just did not add up. You go to 1 John, of course, and it tells you that anyone who denies that Christ came as God in the flesh I hope you let me get away with this. At my age, my short-term memory sometimes is hurt. But and I haven't got time to look it up here for you right quick. But I would recommend that people read John, 1 John, and because it says there, you know, that that if they don't believe that Christ came in the flesh, as God in the flesh, and such, that they are not his children. And of course, then I read Matthew 23:15, and I hope you'll write that down. Matthew 23:15 turned on a lot of lights in my mind, and Christ in Matthew 23 was having a verbal exchange with the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, we have to, be a little careful here that we put the proper definitions on words. An Israelite is a race. Jacob was the beginning of the race of Israel, Israelites. And the Jews didn't come into existence until later. And being Jewish is not a race. In Matthew 23:15, this is what it says. And I'm just quoting it from memory. I memorized this verse a long time ago. Christ was having this verbal exchange with the scribes and the Pharisees, who are basically the hierarchy of Judaism. And he said to these scribes and Pharisees, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when you have made him, he becomes a twofold son of hell, even worse than yourselves." Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ telling you that Judaism is not a race, does not designate a race of people. It is a religion. And so we know that the Buddhists, they pray to Buddha, and the Muslims, they pray to Allah, and the Japanese pray to the emperor, that's Shintoism. And we the true Christians, we pray to our Heavenly Father by way of the door that has been opened for us by the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. And so you want to ask a Jew, where or who do you pray to when you pray? In your synagogues. In Revelations, it talks about the synagogue of Satan. Satan has synagogues, apparently. Now, is this where Jews pray to their God and that their God is Lucifer? Well, I think you will find that if you're talking to one of these people that call themselves a Jew, it's just like somebody calling themselves a Methodist, a Baptist, a Catholic, or whatever. It does not designate a race, and God or Christ is saying that very clearly in Matthew 23:15. He says, "You proselyte, you proselyte." Races do not proselyte. Proselyting is done by religions. The Catholics try to proselyte the Baptists, and the Baptists try to proselyte the Catholics and get them to change their basic religious faith. That's what proselyting is all about. And here you've got Christ's own words. He said, "You are proselyting, and when you have made one, he is twice as bad as you are." So what is he saying? He's saying, hey, scribes and Pharisees, you are bad people. And the people that you get to change to your religious faith are twice as bad as you. And so, a lot of things fell into place for me in John, the 8th chapter. Christ had a confrontation with some Jews, and he made a comment, "Know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And these Jews challenged him. They said, "What do you mean free? We were never in bondage. We were never in bondage," but it tells you that they were Jewish. Now, if they were never in bondage, they were not Israelites, because the Israelites had been in bondage twice when Christ was here on planet Earth. And you could read on there, not too far, and Christ told them, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil." This is the counterfeit that we're talking about. This is the counterfeit to the Christian faith. It is the counterfeit out there that Christ was tempted by Lucifer to join up with Lucifer, because Lucifer had been given the kingdoms of the earth. Now, you see, that had to be in a previous creation. And, of course, there's a certain amount of scripture in the Bible to tell us about a previous creation. Lucifer was created as a very powerful spirit, and he was given dominion of this planet. He was given the job of being the administrator of planet Earth. But we also know that God told him that he had the power of choice, the same as with Adam. Adam had the power of choice. You and I have the power of choice. And Adam and he failed, and Lucifer had failed as well. And I'm sure that God set Lucifer down when he created him and said, "Now, I've given you a tremendous amount of power. I'm giving you the kingdoms of this on this earth. And you are to be the administrator. This is your planet to administer." But I'm sure that I know what happened. I think that God said, "If you disobey me, I'm going to turn out the light." Why do you suppose the planet was dark and it was without form and void? For we don't know whether it was eons of time or a short time period or not. We don't know how long it was. But we do know that Lucifer was in heaven. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, it says that the great accuser, Lucifer, was in heaven and he was accusing God of being unjust and unfair. He is a spirit, but he is cast out. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, it tells you that Lucifer is cast out of heaven. And, of course, that's another story. Now, I don't know if I've clarified anything or not. I hope I haven't confused anything. But I didn't come to this position easy, I'll tell you that. Go ahead, Terry.
Red, let me jump in. We've also got another caller from Colorado again that would like to
sure.
to speak. But before we go to them, I'd kind of like to try to answer Ed's question, because his question was, if that's the counterfeit, define for me what the real Israel of Scripture is talking about at this point. How do we put a frame around that today? Well, I've heard several different good arguments on that, and I don't claim to know every answer in that regard, but I do know that the remnant exists. It exists in Israel. It exists majorly in the United States. There's some pretty good arguments that it's really talking about the United States to some extent. But it's my personal opinion that it really represents the church. And I'm talking about all of those that are in Christ's church, those who are in direct lineage of the Judeos that were the God's chosen back then. The problem is that those people who were God's chosen at the time were followers of the Torah, of the law of Moses. But the vast majority of those claiming to be Jews today, and the term Jew didn't even exist in the original writings of Scripture. The term that was used there was Judeos, or those of Judah. That was the term. The term Jew has been added in these translations. That term did not even exist. But today, the vast majority of those claiming to be Jews are not those following the Torah or the Mosaic Law, but followers of the Talmud. They are Kabbalists. They are essentially the same thing as Baal worship. The Talmud came out of Babylon. So this is the counterfeit, and we can distinguish between that counterfeit. Yes, was it talking about the geographical area there? Yeah, of course it was. Was it talking about the race of those that came from that bloodline there? Yes, it was. But those people have been disseminated all over the earth today, but a significant number of them are right here in the United States. And I think there's good arguments that it is referring to the whole church. I think there's good arguments that it could allude to those that are even have moved west, because that's significantly the direction they went. Can I say for sure that that's exactly what it was? No, I don't claim to do that, Ed, but I think the main thing we have to identify is that there's a counterfeit group out there that have laid claim to this, and they are not, and they represent specifically what was referred to in Revelations 3:9, where Christ says again, "I know thy works in tribulation and poverty. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are of Judeus and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Kate, would you like to comment before we open up the line to the 303 caller?
No, I think you've pretty much covered it as well, because we all have our opinions of physically where that is, and I will note that just in the scripture I read on the tares, the field is the whole world. And in Matthew 24, which we covered a few weeks ago, right there in the place of the battle, of the final battle, there's a separation. One is taken, one is left. And when the abomination is seen, his people are directed to run to the hills. So I like, Terry, what you said. And for me, the bottom line is whether you know, the quote-unquote Jews, who they accept as their Lord and Savior, and if they believe that Jesus appeared in the flesh here on earth. And I have relatives, in-laws and so forth, who are quote-unquote Jewish, and there's a split. There's some that do believe and some that do not. So right there in my own family. So thanks, Terry. Let me unmute our caller.
Area code 303. Thanks, Ed. Hang around. You can get some more in here. We appreciate you being with us. Area code 303, you have an open mic.
Hi, this is Brian calling in.
That's a different number, Brian.
Oh, yeah. This is my landline. Sometimes my cell phone gets a little herky. I'm concerned that there seem to be a large number of people casting aspersions, so to speak, on the current Jerusalem and the current scene in Israel, replacing or displacing it as if we're talking about history that happened hundreds of years ago. And the reason why I'm concerned about that is because if we have no ally in Israel, we have no allies in the Middle East, period. I would hate to think that we're going to put ourselves in that position to fight an ancient fight. Does that make sense?
Sort of. I wanted to bring out a moment ago the concept that war is always by deception. And the problem that we've got, again, we looked at this counterfeit, every one of these wars that we've been in so far have been fomented by this counterfeit. These people have financed both sides of every war. They've incited every war. They've used the war to wipe out the Orthodox Christian Church, to wipe out Protestantism. The Vatican has participated in that process. The Vatican Bank was actually started and assisted by these same counterfeit group. And so I agree with your assessment there. I'd like for you to kind of elaborate on that a little bit so that it's clear for our listeners and myself exactly what you were saying, because I think I understood, but I'm not 100% sure I understood. I'm not a preterist. I don't believe that all prophecy happened by 70 AD. But at the same time, I heard what you said, and I'd like some clarity on it.
All right. Politics, and in this case war, makes strange bedfellows. The supposed Middle East flower that is supposedly blooming is actually the creation of completely new and different kind of enemies for the United States of America. There is not a single one of these uprising nations from Tunisia to Syria who is going to side with the United States of America in any matter, on anything. They are naturally and by disposition and culture are enemies. If they aren't now, they soon will be. Israel, on the other hand, has demonstrated in the past to be at least partially complicit with United States policies and ideas. It's important to remember that the United States, through the CIA and other tertiary arms, have discreated or recreated Israel at several times and had, in my estimation, direct responsibility and part in the murder of two of its prime ministers. And so we have made the creature we now embrace, or we now might be forced to embrace, to find an ally in the Middle East. And the Middle East is going to erupt, in my sincere opinion. I think what we're seeing is the start of the Third World War. And so it behooves us to have at least one friend in the area, and especially one that is nuclearly armed.
Brian?
Mm-hmm.
I can't find or identify a clear ally of the American people in Washington, D.C.
Oh, no.
Because they're complicit with this counterfeit, as are those ruling Israel. And the only ally that I've got, aside from God and Christ, are my fellow Americans. I'm not finding any of them in our State Department or our government or even our military. If there really is an ally to the American people in the American military, I'm still waiting for them to stand up. And you know, Red has evidence that there may be some that are preparing to stand up. I've heard rumors that there are some ready to stand up, but the fact of the matter is that so far they haven't stood up. At least not to where the American people can see them, or to provide any evidence to us, the ones that really want a constitutional republic, the ones that want to keep God at the top of the pecking order. I haven't seen anybody totally standing up. Now, maybe this media and maybe the information system out there is deliberately concealing those people, hiding them from us, keeping us from knowing that they've stood up. Maybe some of them are in jail or in a brig, which I believe there maybe are some are. But when we fought the American Revolution, those that fought were fighting against their own standing army, and we may come to that right now. And that's why we really need to be organized as a citizenry, as a well-regulated militia. And that's why the Second Amendment says what it says.
I couldn't agree with you more, and the fact that that George Soros et al. Are purchasing firearms companies, ammunition companies, et cetera, is very disconcerting. But you see, we're talking on two different levels. We're talking on a parochial level here in the United States of America and an international level. And so if you want to talk on a parochial level, I couldn't agree with you more. I believe, and I said the other night, that revolution is in the air. It's my great hope that this will be a peaceful revolution. But it's my despair that it might be turned into a violent revolution by the powers that be, who, seeing that they could possibly be untrenched from their positions, would choose to fight instead and to direct the United States Army against its own people. But I'm not certain that if we're going to be talking on this level that the United States Army would be willing to respond to such a command. I have grave doubts that that would happen. I'm certain that many of the generals and various high mucky mucks have their deep concerns about this president, and probably had them about the previous presidents. And so to direct them, firstly, directing them into meaningless battles only will heighten their apprehension of getting involved with directing them against the American people. So if that's a concern, I don't think it's a very good concern. I think that the more immediate concern is to start taking control of the armaments that we can give ourselves, and causing our state legislators to do what they need to do, and say that we will act as a state against federal government intrusion into that and many other businesses.
Well, then, this is Kate. Well, then what you've just highlighted, which was, I'm going to say, who is the real American government? Well, our American government right now is a counterfeit. It's a complete counterfeit of what the original government was. And why do I say that? Because just as the United States has supported and armed Israel, the United States has armed al-Qaeda. The United States created al-Qaeda. The CIA is arming all of the rebels in all of those countries that hate us right now. So who is the real America, and who are they working for? So, you know, the other thing that we have to be careful in this discussion about is, yes, we're talking
local. You went silent, Kate.
Pardon me?
You went silent.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I can hear.
Yes, we do.
Okay. The other thing that is important to know and to discern in our discussion is we're talking on a couple of levels. One is secular versus spiritual and local versus international on a secular level. So, you know, it's good to go back and forth here, but it's very important to know that, in fact, what the battle is a spiritual battle, and it does go back to, you know, as we've been talking about. But there are plenty of counterfeits, and including our state governments right now, they're counterfeit too.
Absolutely.
And so what is our next step? So I just wanted to mention that, because, like I said, Israel is, you know, Israel attacked one of our boats in the 70s under a false flag, and our country did nothing about it. And so who are we talking about here? And why I bring up that the nation of Israel is not of Jacob. So anyway, just wanting to point that out, that our counterfeit government is funding every side of this. And in the end, us poor old wheat seeds in the field are the ones that are the target.
Well, let me say that I couldn't agree with you more, Kate, but I'll put it in a little bit different terms, my agreement. What is in the United States, which is Washington, D.C., 10 square miles between Maryland and Virginia, is not the government of the people. That's a private corporation, the purpose of which is to disperse unrest while fleecing the general population. And
it's a counterfeit.
Yeah, it is a corporation. It is not my government. I don't listen to the commands and demands of the United States government. It is a corporation that is private, and therefore I have no shares in it. I have no stake in it. It has usurped the authority of the Republican states, which was the intent of the creators of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution,
right,
at all.
And this is a good example of where we cross over between secular and spiritual. If you want to look at this from a spiritual standpoint, absolutely, it's a counterfeit. It has replaced what our founders were given by God to create. If you want to talk about it secular, it's a corporation. So, you know, these are very important discernments to make.
It happened in 1871. Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
I know, the Act of 1871.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with that. But I'm trying to point out that
it's escalated
ever
since.
Corporation, you're talking secular. When you're talking counterfeit, you're talking spiritual.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I see where you were going with that. Well, and it is all true. Everything that I have heard and that we have said so far this evening is absolutely on point. But I don't believe that we are going to have much say in when the worldwide rebellion, which will be called World War III, is going to break out. I'm simply saying that you're absolutely right. To embrace the government of Israel would be foolish. It would be as foolish as embracing the government of Tunisia or Iran or any of the other Arab countries that currently at least state that they hate America. But the people of Israel, and perhaps the people of some of those Arab states, are what I am talking about when I say we need to have an ally in the Middle East, because I see none other than Israel that can be relied on.
No, I would totally agree with that, but I don't believe they're going to have any more say over there than we have here. And it's time for us to make those demands, is it not? Is it not time for us to, as a people, to stop believing the lies? Is it not time for us to say this government does not represent us anymore? Is it not time to cut off the funding to these people, to put our production into their pockets? Is it not time that we stood up and made demands of our media and of these other people? It's time, and that if we don't do it now, there can be no peaceful revolution. They will force us to a bloodbath. I mean, I'm reading articles which I don't pay too much attention to a lot of the fear stuff, but you've got to have some discernment to be able to determine, you know, what's real and what's just propaganda and fear tactics. But the fact that they are putting out these alerts for FEMA to prepare for massive deaths and buying up all this ammunition and stuff, there are so many indicators that they expect it to come to this. And when I say they, I'm talking about these counterfeit government that we're talking about in Washington, and the ones that are the same people that run the government in Israel. I mean, it all leads back to the same people at the top of the pyramid, whether you're talking about the nation of Israel or the nation of United States. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our point is that, yeah, I agree with you. The chances of us really making a great impact or having a voice or getting any redress of our grievances is pretty slim. But we've got to stop being cowards. We've got to stop being, apathetic, and we've got to stop being consumed by our entertainment and our food. And we've got to start paying attention to the matters of state, and we've got to make demands that we get redress on our grievances.
Right. And well, Terry, let me add that, in terms of the secular allies in the Middle East, it's just like a counterfeit aligning with another counterfeit. And, you know, in the secular world, that's what it would be. Allies, United States, Israel, aligning against, you know, these other folks. That's the counterfeit. That's the secular. On a spiritual level, if we looked at it that way and refused to follow the counterfeits, being American or whatever they would be, the U.S. government, that is a different scenario. That is just exactly what Terry said. We've just got to stop and say, you know what, no more of this. No. We're not just going to keep falling asleep and letting the counterfeits control the fate of the world.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that as American people, not the fictional persons, but as American people, we have the ability to lead the world in at least demonstrating our quest, our desire to throw off the bondage, to throw off the corporate entity which controls us. And until we do that, and unless we do that, the things will continue to be dictated by them. Now then, there's the danger that when we act in that way, the power elites are going to recognize that they are being assaulted. And like any beast that is being assaulted, it's going to lash out in various directions. And I think that that's when it will be determined whether the revolution will be peaceful or otherwise. Of course, if we do nothing, then the terms dictated will be by our apathy. We will be overrun. We will be overwrought. We will be overtaxed. We will be outlawed, and we will be imprisoned.
That's pretty much where we are now. I mean, we're awfully close to that, is what I'm saying. I mean, we're part of the way into that process already.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, well, can I ask a question?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right. I'm listening to all this, and it's great to recognize that there's a problem and to say that we need to stop buying into the problem. That's great, but that's rhetoric. And I hate to say it that way, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be specific things that we do. And when I say we, I'm talking about, you know, just right now, the people who understand, but we're not doing anything. We're complaining. We're bitching about everything. We're complaining about this, that, and the other, and we all recognize the problem. I mean, everybody standing here tonight recognizes the problem, and we're seeing the results of 150 years of miscreants running our constitutional republic into the ground. The practical side of all of this seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but the practical side of this seems to me to be within the grasp of the people if they will find the right, I'm going to say governors, the right people to govern. We can commiserate with one another, and we can talk about how horrible things are, and so on and so forth. But there has to be action put to words, and I'm not seeing it. I mean, I'm honestly, we have people all over this country that if they got on this phone call, we would all be in agreement with what's going on and what's wrong with the country. And when it all started, from going from sound money to everything else, but we're not doing anything.
Ed, let me interject for a minute. Kate and I, first time we met face-to-face was at the Continental Congress back in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
We came together because the petitions of redress of grievance had not been responded to and had been formally submitted at that point for a period of about 14 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
They had been formally served on everybody in the government, and they had failed to respond. We attempted within the time frame that we had there to actually put forth a civic action plan, which I was actually the committee chair for, and we actually formulated one. It ended up not being put in the Articles of Freedom, but it was something that many of us wanted to add to it eventually. Last week on this show, we talked about the churches becoming watchdogs. Well, I think that's possible that we could find some churches that would become watchdogs, but I think, frankly, most of the churches would run us out of town because they really don't have an interest in becoming watchdogs. They have an interest in getting donations from their membership and increasing their membership in numbers, not necessarily in knowledge. And I think as a whole, the churches, you know, are failing us miserably. But the point is, we put that challenge out there. This is not a venue for us to lay out a plan. There are people all across this country who are now talking and communicating and trying to formulate situations that, if it were to come to a need of a replacement, let's say that the military finally decided to stand up, they're going to need a civil government prepared to negotiate with them and to move forward in a way to govern and keep things in an orderly fashion and not going into some kind of anarchist chaos, which is certainly nothing none of us want, because that's a very dangerous thing. But the fact of the matter is that we have an enemy in Washington, D.C., and we have an enemy that's running things in Israel, and we've got a group of people who fomented the whole Zionist movement to take over our evangelical churches and to convince them that the counterfeit was, in fact, the chosen people of God, when, in fact, they're the chosen people of Lucifer. So we've got all of these things that we're dealing with, and we can't come here and lay our plans out in this venue, but we can educate people, so we use this venue to educate people. Do we sound like we're complaining sometimes? We're really looking for solutions, and we're trying to inspire people to take that action. This is not really the place to take that action, or to even to lay out the plans for that action. But the action needs to come, and that's what our challenge is to our listeners, to participate in that process, to get off your duff, you know, form that network. You know, Red could share with us what they did back, you know, around 1980 in Montana, that they had to, where they had to clean up things up there. You know, they had to take out some sheriffs who were you know, running things illegally and not serving the people, but serving the, you know, the people that were in his pocket, or that whose pocket he was in. You know, they had to, they didn't call it militia, they called it vigilantes, which, you know, now has a demonized a term to it. It's basically a variation of vigilant.
Well,
you know, the people have to be vigilant.
Keep in mind who's demonizing it. When you say sovereign, it's demonized. When you say vigilante, it's demonized. But it's demonized by the very entity which is sovereign and vigilant. It's the government itself. If you consent to allow to give these entities authority over you, you have consented away your freedom. You have consented away your sovereignty. You've consented away your ability to be vigilant. You know, and this is one of the points that I would really recommend everybody stand up for the Constitution as a personal restraining order against the federal government intruding into the lives of people. You see, it's very specific that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. If you don't consent, you cannot be governed. And I think that everyone needs to go in and remind these yahoos in their black robes that they are nothing more than a fictional entity that has been hired by the people to act in a just and concise way. They oftentimes forget this. In fact, they have completely forgotten it, and they are governing over us without our consent in most cases, or in many cases, using statutory laws and other fictional creations for the sake of causing us to be a controlled people. That's one way that the people can take back their government, is by demanding that all judicial proceedings be under common law agreement, which is part of every single constitution in the United States, and that you will not consent to have any court in any other fashion.
Brian, I don't disagree with you. And again, I'm not trying to be a contrarian. I'm really not. I know it sounds that way, but I'm honestly not. What you just said, I would agree with. The problem is that one person going into a courtroom, and I don't care what kind of, it doesn't make any difference. What pro se or sui jure or any other way.
Sui juris.
Trying to get the court to recognize and acknowledge the higher authority of a common law court, it ain't going to happen. Not only is it not going to happen, they will put you in jail if you try it long enough. And there have been, and I'm just going to say it, there have been hundreds of what I'm going to call patriots who recognize exactly what you just said, who have done exactly what I'm talking about, gone into court, tried to get the court to recognize that, hey, you don't govern me. I'm not going to be governed by you. And the judges, the courts say, oh, okay, fine. Bailiff, put this guy in chains and take him to jail. And they'll sit there forever. Now, what I'm saying is not, what I'm not saying is that we should have a revolution, an armed revolution, and go arrest them. But the fact of the matter is that we don't have anybody, and I mean anybody, that has a solution to the things that we're talking about. And I want one real bad. I want a solution. I've been working in this arena since 1992. Now, I know that's not very long, but it's long enough, and I'm just going to tell all of you, I've been in courtroom, and I've tried to make the courts recognize exactly what you're talking about, Brian, and I think you have too. I think we have a common friend here in Colorado Springs that is no longer with us, that was trying to do exactly what we're talking about here tonight, peaceably. And there has been no success. And I'm not saying that there hasn't been an occasional guy that gets lucky with some judge who just gets tired of messing with it and agrees to some remedy. But what I'm talking about is we have a government at the federal level that it doesn't belong there. We have the same problem in virtually every single state capital. Government that doesn't belong there.
That's
the
right.
People,
and let me take this.
Let Kate speak for a second. Then.
Let me take this to another level. Again, all of the quote unquote legal system is a counterfeit for God's law. It's completely a counterfeit. So every court in the country is a counterfeit. They've created their own sets of law. Every government is a counterfeit. So our little efforts, you know, to try to go in, not that they're little, but we all have tried this, and there's no disagreement about the issue of corporatism and the corporate U.S. and so forth, but what we're trying to suggest in what is arguably an educational series is that we're looking at it in a secular way. If you look at it as a counterfeit in a spiritual sense, the counterfeit for God's law, then is there a different approach rather than trying to fight against these individual courts, all of which are counterfeit because the entire legal system is counterfeit. The educational system is counterfeit. It's all a counterfeit, and that is satanic. Satan is a counterfeiter. So we can argue about these various strategies, but again, that's on a secular level. This is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle that goes way beyond the Act of 1871, with the exception of the Act of 1871 making the United States a corporation just sealed the counterfeit that it is. We have the UN promoting a new world order. That's a counterfeit. Who's the only world order? Is the order of God and Christ. That is the real new world order. So we can, again, you know, you want to make allies with counterfeits and go at this other counterfeit. on these issues. You know, refusing to be a part of the counterfeit system, which is what you've said, refusing, but you said it on a secular way, refusing to be ruled by them. That's correct. But looking at it from a higher perspective or a broader perspective suggests a different avenue. I would venture to say that that most people don't even understand what has happened here in terms of what has been replaced, God's law being replaced by this stuff called American jurisprudence. And it's really inexcusable. And all of those judges and so forth, I mean, all of it is a counterfeit. So we can continue to strike against them, but they have all the power right now. So what is the alternative? And that's why last week we talked about the church is becoming a watchdog. And how I have learned to look at all of this is I check everything with Scripture. Everything has got to be checked with Scripture, in my view. And Red had the idea last week, we talked about it, that if some of these churches would, for example, sponsor a discussion once a week where you look at the elements of what's going on in the world or what the government is telling you to do and see if you can find it in Scripture, then you begin to discern and you begin to see more of the counterfeit that we're dealing with. I have found, just as Terry was talking about, on the secular level, the Continental Congress of 2009, all of these petitions, all of this stuff, there have been activists who've been arrested and jailed since that time as well for trying to promote these things. This is how serious it is. They've got all the power. If you get on a different level, it becomes a different piece. And one of the things we wanted to mention tonight was how, in terms of enforcement of our Constitution, our real Constitution, that the Second Amendment, the Bill of Rights, is our enforcement mechanism, and that, you know, Red talked about the vigilantes and we've been talking a little bit about militias, but the formation of that protective force at the local level, which is not big, not an army of, you know, 100 people or so forth, but two or three or four networking, beginning to understand from whence you come, from whence we come. And we're not fighting this secular thing. We are, if we want to stay on that level. This is a spiritual battle. Satan's got the reins. And so we have to lift ourselves and be lifted by, allow ourselves to be lifted by God the Creator to help us move forward. And again, this venue, Terry and I were talking about this before the show started. We've got to find a way to get this message out because, just as we experienced in the last several minutes, we can argue on that secular level about what works or what doesn't, and it is a lot of words and actions and so forth. And on the spiritual level, yeah, we're talking about it now, but I would bet my life on the fact that there's a different strategy if you look at this from a spiritual perspective, a very different strategy. What that strategy is, I don't know. I think that's what we're trying to articulate in this series of shows. So I just argue again plea for everyone to see this as secular and spiritual, that on a secular level we're making alliances with counterfeits. And we're working in a counterfeit system. Satan's having a field day. We're working in his field. And if we take that power away from Satan and get on the Lord's field and really see what's happening here, we'll prevent ourselves from making alliance with another counterfeit in the Middle East to try to battle the other counterfeits that are fighting for counterfeits. And it's, you know, a lot of people have been lied to all over the world. A lot of people are waking up. A lot of people are like us right now on this show. Where do we go? How do we do this? Most of our quote-unquote friends, patriot friends, just want a dollar. They just want to make money on this stuff. or they want to promote fear, so you'll buy my product on my website. This is a very important task that we all have right now, to not necessarily come up with a strategy, but to really begin to outline what the elements of this battle really is. And believe me, I'm all for developing strategies. In fact, I drive everybody crazy because I want to get specific. But that has been my secular training. And now, as I get into a different viewpoint, different strategies emerge. And I would just have to also just say that none of us really know freedom unless we know God. We don't know what that is. So you've got a lot of people out there, freedom, liberty, yeah. Where does that come from? Does it come from the Constitution? No. That comes from God. Unalienable rights. And so you have to know that to understand true liberty and to be truly sovereign. That doesn't come from anybody else but God. That true sovereignty, once you orient there and realize how alone you are in this secular world, that becomes a very different set of tools and strategies to move forward. Albeit, if it only, quote unquote, only is prayer. I'll stop there, Terry.
Well, we've got about 8 minutes left. I want Red to be able to get back in here for a few minutes, but I had a lot of thoughts going through my mind when you were talking, Kate. I don't even have time to get to all of them, but the long and the short of it is, at this point, I remember Brian's comment last week, and I think it was an important comment, that we cannot get back to liberty without getting rid of the entitlements. And it was you, Brian, that made that comment?
That's correct.
Well, let me put it a different way. Entitlements facilitate knocking God off the top of the pecking order. Because then we look to the government to be the top of that pecking order. So entitlements are a serious problem. And when you made this statement, you know, you were the first one really that's made that statement to me directly. And I took it to heart, and I thought about it, and I really believe that you were correct. But again, it is a function of this spiritual battle that Kate's talking about. Because we've got to get God back at the top of the pecking order, and we're not going to, you know, if we don't defend our unalienable rights, it's just like the Constitution. It will not defend itself. Well, our rights won't defend themselves either. We have to take a stand. That's why I believe God told us to subdue. That's why Jesus set the example of fashioning that whip out of a rope and chasing the money changers out of the temple. We've got to chase the money changers out of our lives and put God at the top of the pecking order. Red, you want to jump in?
Well, I've been listening here and waiting for somebody to use that three-letter word, S-I-N. If you've read the scriptures, if you've read the history of the Israel people, you will see where they have gone through these cycles, hundreds of years. They've gone through these cycles. They fall into sin. They fall into idolatry. And the Heavenly Father says, hey, I'm going to have to chastise you. I'm going to have to bring a judgment on you. We have a very good blueprint in the story of Gideon. The children of Israel had gone off into idolatry and such, and God allowed 135,000, I think it was, if I remember right, Midianites, a massive army, to come in and conquer Israel. And it was Gideon with 300 men, clay pitchers with a torch in it, and each one had a a bugle, or a trumpet. And they had God's help and God's blessing, and they put that 135,000-man army into a panic, and it was a great victory for God. God didn't he didn't let Gideon go out there with many thousands of people, because God wanted the credit. And so until we in this country come to the point where we're willing to confess our sin. You see, I don't find anybody taking any blame for where we're at. I hear a lot about blaming the Democrats and blaming the Republicans and whatnot, but until the American people come to the conclusion that they themselves as individuals are going to have to clean up their act. And when that happens, God makes things happen. And I was rather amused when somebody was talking about Israel needing or we need an accomplice or a friend over there. If you read the history of the Israelites, you'll find that God judged, he condemned people for making alliances with other countries. And it's there, the history is there. If that was God's chosen over there, God is big enough to take care of them. They wouldn't need 250 or 60 F-16s from the United States government. They wouldn't need all those nuclear weapons and such. If that was God's chosen over there, God has the capability, he has the power to make the rest of the world stand back. He would say, leave my people go, because they're serving me, and I will protect them. And that's the promise God gave to the children of Israel. You serve me, and I'll protect you. And the one time that's recorded why the king made an alliance with another kingdom, because they were afraid of a common enemy, and God condemned them. God condemned that king for doing that. He said, no, no, you serve me, I take care of you. And so this is one of the strongest arguments you will find, proving that that is a counterfeit Israel over there. Judaism, that's the word where the word Jew really came from. It is Judaism that teaches that Lucifer is their God, and that's the God they pray to. And so God's judgment is going to come on those people unless they repent. And in this country, we've got so many little tin gods that we want to follow, and we've got all these preachers out here that are, preaching, they're not feeding the flock. And so with that, we're running out of time, so I'll turn it back to you. But don't forget that word sin and where it fits into the picture, because we are a nation of people who have forgotten their God, and their God has forgotten them, you might say. But he hasn't really. Because one of these days, things are going to happen. And right now, I have some information that's very good, very interesting, and you'll be hearing about it.
Yeah, we'll bring that out next week. We're out of time. We got 1 minute, Red. Would you close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity to discuss truths with those around about us. And we just pray that we would have such a high value on truth that we would not be hindered by outside interests and by those who would want to deceive us. We don't want to be in a position where we do not have the love of truth, because we know that when people don't have a love of truth, then God sends strong delusion that they would believe a lie and that they might all be damned. And we don't want to be in that position, and we just pray that you would go with each and every person that has been listening to this program tonight, and that you would be close to them, give them the inspiration to study, and come back for more next week. We just pray that you will help us so that we can be a help and be a ministry. We just thank you now because you have been good to us, and we thank those that have called in because they are contributing to the whole picture, and we thank you for those people. And with that, we pray now that you would bless us, keep us, and we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Your questions and comments have added to another show, and we want you to come back and join us anytime. You guys are excellent callers. See you next week, everyone, with Walls in Our Minds and Revolution Radio. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Greg.
You still be far.